Now worship as we look at the Word of God. Our message this morning is preach the gospel in your city. And let me just tell you up front that this might be a little bit uncomfortable for us, as we are going to find that we're encouraged to do something that maybe we are not so quick to do a lot of times, but is very, very important. Now, when Jesus came, he walked in this earth and he ministered to the people of Israel. He impacted them. He healed them. He proclaimed the truth of the kingdom of God to them. And for about 3.5 years, he did a mighty work. And of course, the greatest work that he did was his death on the cross, where he took our sins upon him. He was buried, he paid the penalty, he rose again from the dead so that you and I might have eternal life. Praise the Lord for the work of Jesus on the cross. But when he lived here and he did that work on the cross, something amazing happened. He died, he rose again, and he ascended to the Father, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this was better. It was better for him to go away so that the Holy Spirit would come. And what was the ministry of one man, Jesus, then turned into the ministry of many, his disciples and the believers after that, all the way until our day today. And so you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we do the work of Jesus in this world. And our scope has increased, not just from one portion of the world, but to the entire world. And this is a great thing. And thus we have this church, the church of Jesus Christ. It is the expression of Jesus on this earth, all across the world, and believers like you and I are called to do the same thing as we find in the Word of God. Now, last week we heard a good message on the Great Commission, and usually when we talk about the Great Commission, we are emphasizing the work that each of us must do as individuals. And so, as a Christian, as a believer, I am called by Jesus to take the message of the gospel out into the world where I live, and that is all true. But we are not in this alone, and there is a role that the church plays that not only do I have to take the gospel out as an individual, but we can work together as a church, as a body of believers, in order to share the Great Commission or the gospel of Jesus into all the world. And so we read in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, where it tells us the Great Commission. He says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." And that is not the work of any one person, but it is the work of all of us. Together. We all go together in a corporate effort to take the message of Jesus into all of the world. And so in each church, in every community, all around the world, we are called by Jesus to reach the world for Jesus, sharing the gospel. And for us, this church now, that means Martinsburg, West Virginia. Yes, right? Here's where we are. Here's where the Lord has brought us, whether we realize it or not. We live in this place, and we are called by Jesus to reach this city for Him. Amen? Now, when we preach the gospel to someone, when we share the gospel with someone, we're not always going to receive a warm welcome and open arms. Has anybody ever shared the gospel and, well, how many of you have shared the gospel and it was received well? Wonderful! Praise the Lord for all those good testimonies. How many of you preached the gospel to someone or shared the gospel with someone and it was not received well? Yeah, look at that, almost as many hands. Can you believe that? And that's what happens. That's how it goes. Sometimes we share the gospel, we share the good news, and we are received positively. And back then, in that day, they preached the gospel and there was a positive response and the church grew. Sometimes, however, the reaction is negative, both for us and even back then. And back then, they preached the gospel, and there was a negative reception. There was persecution that brought out, and rather than the church growing, the church spread out because they were fleeing persecution. They were persecuted. They fled to other places. But, you know, you can't snuff out the work of Jesus, right? They spread to these places, and in those places, they did the same thing they were doing in their original place, in their home. They preached Jesus and the kingdom of God, and you had more people respond positively, and of course, you had people continuing to respond negatively. So, we don't know how people are going to respond positively or negatively. We just know that we're supposed to be faithful in it, and God brings the increase. The results are in His hands. I remember sharing the gospel with one particular person, and it stands out to me because he had a whole bunch of questions, and I thought I was doing pretty good, you know, answering his questions. He'd ask me this question, what about this? And I'd give him an answer. What about that? And I'd give him an answer. And that's how it was going the whole time. Wow, you know, I felt really good about how it was going. And did he accept Christ? No, he didn't. And that was so discouraging. And then there have been other times, and this is how it goes most of the time. I talk, and as soon as I start opening my mouth, as soon as I open my mouth, you know, I'm putting my foot in my mouth and taking it out, and putting my foot back in my mouth and taking it out, and I'm stumbling over my words, and I'm thinking of three things, and so all three things just kind of get jumbled into one sentence that comes out of my mouth, and it's just, that's how it goes most of the time. And then somebody accepts Christ, and I leave that thing, Lord, what in the world's going on here? I just didn't make one coherent sentence, and yet they accepted Jesus. How does that happen? But that's what we do. We share to the best that we can, and we leave the results to the Lord. Now, we're looking at Acts chapter 8, so turn to your Bibles if you haven't already turned to Acts chapter 8. We're looking at Acts chapter 8, and in Acts chapter 8, we find a particular example of the sharing of the gospel in a city, and this is what we want to focus in on this morning. We have been emphasizing our summer of service, and we are collecting school supplies. That's one of our summer of service things. We've had VBS, we've had cookouts across the street, what else have we done, Colin? Have I got everything? All right, the rescue mission every other week or so, twice a month, and so we're doing all of these summer of service things. We're emphasizing that. We've talked about serving, how the husband and the wife are supposed to serve each other, and we've talked about serving within our families, and we've talked a little bit about serving within our church, and now we're talking about reaching out. Oh, we've been talking about our neighbors. I hope you did your homework, and you have some examples. I'm going to ask you about that in a few minutes, and we've been talking about serving our neighbors, and we want to continue that as we consider preaching the gospel into our community, not just to those who are next to us, but to the community as a whole. And so we find an example of this in Acts chapter 8. So I want to read the first few verses here, 1 through 4. It says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death." This is the death of Stephen in chapter 7. Saul, who later became Paul, was persecuting the church at this time, and Stephen dies for his faith in Jesus. "So Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." In other words, the apostles didn't leave, they stayed where they were. But a lot of the believers went other places. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." Can you imagine being a Christian back then? And they pound on your door, they come in knowing that you're a Christian, and they take you away and put you in jail because you are a believer. Can you imagine having to go through that? That would be kind of stressful, not knowing what is going to happen next. But sometimes this is what happens when we follow Jesus. There is persecution. And thankfully, we are free in this country right now to meet like this. Amen? And to be able to have church by choice. And so we come and we meet and we serve our Lord with relative freedom. But we do face some persecution in our nation right now. But anyway, we have some freedom here. But back then, Saul began to persecute the church. He entered every house, dragging them off and putting them in prison. Verse 4. "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere," and look what they did, "preaching the word." They went everywhere. They were scattered. They weren't put in prison, these particular believers, and they preached the word. And so we see from here, we turn to a particular example, the example of Philip. So we read about Stephen in Acts chapter 7, and in Acts chapter 8, we read about another one of those early disciples, Philip. So let's continue. I'm going to read verse 4 again. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So the church was scattered. Philip was one of those. He went somewhere else. He went to Samaria, and in Samaria, he preached the gospel. Now, what's key here is the preaching of the gospel. What was their work, these early believers? What was their work that they felt compelled to do wherever they went? Their work was to share the gospel of Jesus with other people. And that's where maybe we become a little bit uncomfortable. And I'll elaborate on this as we move through here. But the gospel is the key. The gospel is the most important thing, the most important need that other people have. This response to the gospel has eternal impact for each and every person. Those who respond positively to the gospel will experience and have the hope of eternal life, and those who do not experience the gospel have only the impending judgment of eternal damnation to face. This is critical. It is important, and it is of eternal consequence. And as Christians, as we consider what our job is to do, we have to come back to this one truth, that we are sharing Jesus. We are taking the gospel and bringing it to other people. We share Jesus with others. Now, like I said, you know, sometimes we hesitate on this, and we can look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16 as maybe an exhortation or an example for us. But here it is. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. If I believe in Jesus and the gospel has come to me, I have experienced the power of God for salvation. There's nothing greater than that. That has come to me. It is the power of God that gives salvation to anyone who believes. And so I should take this great thing, this good news about Jesus, this gospel message, I should be willing to take it to everyone without shame, without fear, without holding back. It is the greatest news. It is the most powerful thing. It is the most impactful thing that can happen in the life of another person. They be changed by the gospel of Jesus. So Philip went and preached in the city of Samaria. Now, Samaria was no small town. We think of, you know, these little outlying towns maybe that we might have in our mind in ancient Israel back then during the time of Jesus, a little bit afterwards, and we're thinking maybe of little villages where there are a few handful of people. But Samaria was not like that. There was a rough population estimate of the city of Samaria of 40,000 people. 40,000 people. Now, to put that in perspective, the 2020 census for here in our area put Martinsburg's population at 18,773. In other words, Philip went and preached the gospel in the city of Samaria of 40,000 people strong. And Martinsburg is half that size, 20,000. So is this doable for us? Yes, it is. I don't know how, but it is, isn't it? Philip was one person. There's no evidence that Philip had any help. And what is implied here is that when Philip went to Samaria to preach, he kept on doing it. It wasn't just a one-time thing. He did it. He went by himself. He preached the gospel to those in Samaria. Now, they weren't Jews. This is new territory here. He's preaching the gospel to them. It was a city of 40,000, and here we are, many of us, not just one, in Martinsburg, half of the population, and we have a ripe ground for preaching and sharing the gospel. So, it is something that goes on. It is something that carries on from time to time. And we preach the gospel and we share it. We're supposed to share it with those who are around us. This is the work that Jesus came to do. Let me just remind us of Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is a prophecy concerning Jesus. This is Jesus' own statement about what he came to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he has anointed me to what? To what? Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He came by the Spirit of the Lord to proclaim the gospel. Another verse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. How important is the proclamation of the gospel? Well, the gospel must be preached throughout the world before he returns. We believe he's coming back, don't we? And before he comes back, the gospel must be preached. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And so, O church, let us arise. Let us be busy with the work that he has called us to do. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. This is a great passage of scripture. It says, how then shall they call on him, those who don't believe, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, God could have set up any number of ways to communicate the gospel with this world. And you've heard me share this before. He could, on every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, open up the sky with a huge angel standing there with a booming voice proclaiming the gospel to all of the area. Could he not? Now, I'd rather listen to the angel than hear me preach. You know what I mean? That would be kind of a great thing to have this angel just kind of appear and share. But that's not how he has chosen to do it. He has chosen to use you and me, imperfect vessels like we are, to take the gospel, the good news, to the people that are around us. And how are they going to believe unless they hear the message preached from you and me? That's how important this is. This is the work of the church. And then we read Paul. Now look at Paul. Paul stands as just an amazing example to us. He says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. I can't remember the last time I felt like that about preaching the gospel. Woe is me if I don't do it. So we have a long way to go sometimes, myself included. So we share the gospel and we reach out. Now, part of reaching out is connecting with our neighbors, right? And this is what I've been encouraging us to do for the last few weeks here, connecting with our neighbors. So I want to ask you, has anybody had any connection with their neighbors this past week? Anybody want to share a testimony? All right, Sarah, go ahead. Now remember, there are three things. Maybe you learned somebody's name. So just say, well, I learned my neighbor's name, and his name is Bill. That could be simple like that. Or maybe if you communicated and you have some more personal information, you don't have to share that. But just share your connection with somebody else this week, one of your neighbors.
I think maybe I'll raise my hand too.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been talking to new people much.
Yeah.
But we live on a street where everybody is like extended family.
Yeah.
So we talk to our neighbors all the time.
Good. Yeah.
And a lot of our neighbors are very strong Christians already, and so we're sort of a support network for one another.
Okay, good.
But there is one neighbor that is very hostile toward Jesus.
Yeah, they need to move off your street.
And it's like the more we try to reach out to them, the more they sort of slam the door on it.
Yeah.
We've invited their kids to VBS before, and one year they even said they were going to come, but then they didn't. And so the next time I saw the father, I said, hey, we missed you at VBS. He said, yeah, we don't do the whole Jesus thing.
Right.
So we still have some work to do.
Okay.
On our street.
All right, good. Will?
So, having the Lord bring up a new recent, it's not like she would say, not a new thing, I didn't see his skin color. I didn't see his turban as anything offensive or scary. I loved him as a friend. He's my best friend. And I grew up with the privilege of being raised in Montgomery County, Maryland, where being a white boy, I was a minority. So I had very few white friends. I only had one white friend. His name was Luke Cat. But that's not about me, but the point is, like, I hope we can encourage everybody to have that childlike heart, to not see color, to not see social status, prejudice, but share the gospel and love each other with that childlike love as we're called to in the kingdom. Because that's so important. I didn't see any of that. I love it. They're just my friends. I was running Sarai, Muslim friends. So it's just, I don't know, it's just an encouragement to forget what society has taught us, to forget what the news tells us, and remember to have that kingdom heart, that childlike faith, that childlike heart, and love everyone with the right kind of love, not encourage wrong things, but, you know, be that. Be that light in the world, and stop looking at skin color, race, religion, past, and have that childlike faith.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. The ministry and the work of the church supersedes all of the cultural, sinful boundaries that are established. And our job is to share the gospel of Christ. God loves all the people that are around us. Other examples of exhortations this week. Curtis.
Yeah, I have a couple brothers that live in Israel. And they have been living there for 20 years. And they've been living there for
Good. Sharing the gospel is the most important thing. So other testimonies, where you learn somebody's name of your neighbors, you engage in a personal conversation beyond, hi, hello, how are you, and or maybe you did something to bless your neighbor. Any testimonies of that this week? Joanne? Great, I love that. Beverly.
Oh, I didn't know you saw my name.
Didn't you raise your hand?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I just
went
to my neighbor right here.
Oh, okay, here in you waited to the last minute to do your homework. That's all right. Okay. All right. Good. Thank you, Beverly, for reaching out to someone you didn't know here at church. Tori?
He kind of has like a mentality of he doesn't want to have another person like tell him
what to do, right?
Like we just sat and talked about that for a long time while he was fixing his boat.
Yeah. How many of us like to be told what to do? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. All right. Karen, do you have a testimony? Oh, okay. I thought you didn't.
I got the best neighbor.
All right, great.
Dan and Ruth right here behind me. We actually came to this church because of them a couple of years ago. And anytime my family's needed them, they've always been there. But we've always talked every day. They bring us tomatoes. They do everything. So they're awesome neighbors.
I'm glad you shared that with me because I was just wondering about Dan and Ruth. You know, just. They are. Dan and Ruth have been great. Thank you. Dan does all the landscaping around the church, and we have appreciated and loved you, Dan, for that for a long, long time. All right, Karen. All right, you learned the dog's name, but who cares about them, right? You got to put the first things first, right? It was just by accident, right? God's saying, Karen, you're going to meet that neighbor no matter what. Just kind of push you out there. Christina, did you want to share? Well, now you have to. All right, Mike is going to share. Yeah, yesterday.
We were going out to eat, me and my dad and my brother and Elon and Maddie. And I found my friend.
And Mom. Don't forget Mom.
Yes, my mom. If you don't know that. But.
So what happened? Who'd you meet?
I found my friend Garrett at the restaurant we went to.
Yes. Yeah, great. Wonderful. So we went to Chick-fil-A yesterday, and Micah, as he's prone to do, he just kind of wanders off, and I got to follow him all over the place. So he departed from the table at one instance, and I turned around, and I could tell he was talking to somebody, so I got up and went over to where he was. And lo and behold, he found our neighbor who lived across the street and went over and said hello to him. Isn't that great? And I'm not going to let Christina talk because we're running out of time here. But she went across the street and met a new person who had moved into the apartment. They had just moved in maybe a week or so before and met her and talked with her for a little while. So that's what we're talking about, reaching out our neighbor, loving your neighbor as yourself. That's really important for us. And it's sometimes uncomfortable. But being friendly is good, but not enough. Feeding the hungry is good, but not enough. Doing a good deed for someone is good, but it is not enough. If we connect with our neighbor and we show the love of Jesus and we have a conversation with them and we do a nice thing for them, that is great. And they might leave our presence thinking, oh, what a great neighbor we have, and they're not like all the other neighbors around us. They are really nice, and I just really like our neighbors. That is wonderful that they're thinking those kinds of things, but what they really need is Jesus to forgive them of their sins so that they can have eternal life. And so we have to go beyond these good things that we're doing and these nice conversations and meeting them. We have to go beyond that and remember that the most important need that they have is the need for the gospel of Jesus Christ to change them. And so we must share Jesus. We must share Jesus with them. That's our first point. Our second point this morning, we must share Jesus no matter what you are going through. Share Jesus no matter what you are going through. Now, Acts chapter 8, verse 4, notice it says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now, why were they scattered? They were scattered because they were experiencing persecution. And for them to move to another place or to go to another place wasn't just like, well, you know, I'm getting a new job and I got to go over here and let's pack up our stuff and get a moving company and let them transport it all over there, and we move over there, start a new job, and all of that, you know, just kind of by choice. This was not by choice. They were being persecuted. They had to flee, and they fled. And they, despite going through this very stressful time, they still went out and preached the gospel. And so that is the encouragement, the exhortation to us. We're all going through hard times, but we must share Jesus no matter what it is that we're going through. Now, I looked up on the internet the top 10 stressors of life. So here it is. If you look up at a different web page than I did, you might come up with a different list, but this is pretty much, you know, what you're going to find. So first of all, one of the top 10 stressors is the death of a spouse or a child. Second, a divorce or a separation. Third, and here's the one that's applicable, moving, buying, or selling a home. That is a stressful thing to go through. One of the top 10. Major illness or injury, job loss, imprisonment, death of a close friend or family member, personal injury or illness, marriage, and financial problems. So these are the top 10 stressors in life. And we can look at this list and we can say, well, you know, I'm going through one of those. Well, so what? I'm going through two of them. Hey, I got you all beat. I'm going through three or four of them. And we might look at this list and think, well, you know, I'm just really stressed out and I'm going through a hard time and I'm just gonna, you know, check out for a little while. But we don't have that luxury. God gives us strength. He gives us grace. And wherever we find ourselves, we have to be ready to do the greater work, the eternal work, the work of sharing Jesus with those who are around us. So we find that Paul had to work hard for his needs, but even though he was working to meet his physical needs, he still, his main work was that of sharing the gospel with others. And I know that we are busy, and I know we are going through a hard time. I know that. But we are here as believers in Jesus to share the gospel with other people. And so let us be busy for the work that we have been called to do. Our third point this morning, share Jesus while doing other things for people. So here's where loving your neighbor as yourself kind of comes in. We are to meet them. We are to learn their names. We are to do good things for them. But while we're doing all this, we are also to share what is true about us. And that is our faith in Jesus. So we read in verses 6 and 7, the multitudes with one accord in Samaria heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And so Philip is not only taking the message of the gospel with him, but he is also taking the work of the gospel with him. And for him, that involved the healing and the casting out of demons. But as we read through the book of Acts, we see that the church was involved in other things like feeding the widows rightly and so on and so forth. So we take what we can in order to help and to bless the people that are around us, the meanwhile doing those things while preaching the gospel to them. And we must share the gospel. We must. It is not about making a personal connection. It is about leading other people to our Savior and our Lord. And if we have received the greatest possible gift, the gift of eternal life and forgiveness in Jesus, we must take that and share it with others. And then finally, when we do share Jesus with others, there is joy that can be experienced. So, in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 8, there was great joy in that city. What a great testimony. Here is Samaria. They hear the preaching of this one crazy person who came from Jerusalem. He's preaching to them the good news of Jesus Christ, and they receive it, and they are blessed, and they begin to experience great joy. This is a revival. This is a revival. This is what revival is all about. It is the truth spreading out from household to household throughout a whole entire area, people coming to know the Lord. And I tell you what, there is no greater joy than knowing that God has forgiven you and that He is on your side, and that no matter what, you will experience eternal life with Him. That is it. You can't replace that with anything. And so when people realize that, yes, I've messed up my life, but you mean He's going to forgive me and He'll help me even though I've messed up my life? And the answer is yes, He will. Because He is loving and great and gracious and merciful, and He paid the penalty on the cross for us, for all of our failures, for all of our shortcomings, and there is great joy that can be had. Now, not everyone believed. As we move on through chapter 8, there are some confrontations that Philip has to experience and go through, and there's trouble in the city of Samaria, but that doesn't change the fact that people believed in Jesus and experienced great joy. And what a great testimony it would be if we could take the gospel to our area in which we live, and that we begin to see a revival in this area, people accepting Jesus, people changing their lives because of His grace, and experiencing the joy that comes from being forgiven and the hope of knowing that you will go to heaven to be with Him forever. What a great thing that would be. And maybe, Colin, maybe we need to, as our outreach pastor here, maybe we need to start training our people on how to share the gospel. I don't know, you know, what that would look like, but maybe setting up something, maybe we can get something going that'll help us to feel a little bit more comfortable with taking the gospel and sharing it ourselves with those that are around us. That would be a wonderful thing. So, we praise the Lord for this, and let me just finish up by reading some verses here. Psalm 35:9 says, "My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." Psalm 51:12, "Restore to me the joy of Your salvation and uphold me by Your generous spirit." Psalm 95:1, "Oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Praise be to God for the salvation that He has offered us, in spite of ourselves, that we can have forgiveness of sins, we can be saved, and we can look forward to the hope of eternal life. Praise be to our Lord." Let's stand as we sing our final song this morning.